It's time for our monthly catch-up with RNIB's campaigns team. We talk about a whole host of topics. It could be health-related, public transport, employment, access to sporting facilities, and you can get involved if you or someone you know are blind or partially sighted and perhaps have an issue in your local area. Maybe your pavements are full of parked cars or wheelie bins. Then, you know, that could have a bit of a national impact as well. So we're always looking for people to get in touch and get involved as well. Costa Asprey is a regular from the campaigns team. How are we, Costa?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you, Alan?
Good, not too bad. Now, we've got quite a few pieces to talk about today, and we're also going to be hearing from Helen Lee a little bit later from RNIB's policy and campaigns team as well. First of all, though, with a bit of a call for some new research or support for research.
RNIB is increasingly focused on removing barriers that blind and partially sighted people face to participate equally in society, but we need to hear which barriers cause the biggest challenges. This information will be really important to tell us where to concentrate RNIB's efforts and precious resources. So if you're blind or partially sighted, we're asking you to complete a survey to give your views on the barriers that have the greatest impact on your life. Is getting around the biggest barrier employment opportunities or something else? The survey can be completed online or over the phone. If you give us a call, a team member will take your details and you'll get a call back in a few days to complete the survey. The survey is open until the 6th of September, so please don't miss this opportunity to give us your views.
I've completed this one. I was a good boy, gold star for me. So absolutely, we encourage you to take part in that. We'll get some details from Costa a little bit later. Now, something which I haven't come across this myself, Costa, but they are growing in popularity and causing a problem. Looking at dockless bikes.
Speaking of barriers which blind and partially sighted people face on a daily basis, we know that dockless bikes are now becoming more of a problem. So I'm joined here by our London Regional Campaigns Officer, Karishma Shah. Can you tell us what dockless bikes are and why they're causing a problem for blind and partially sighted people?
Yes, of course. As the name suggests, people can hire them out through an app and they are located through GPS and geofencing. But the problem with them is because they're not docked on normally other bikes that you can hire out. They normally have fixed docking stations, but with dockless bikes, the whole idea around them is so that you can basically dock them anywhere, and people tend to dump them anywhere and everywhere. And for blind and partially sighted people, it's an issue because we don't know where exactly bikes will be parked, and they're just so random. So yes, you know, they are like any pavement obstacles, bins, pavement parking. So yes, they cause a similar threat, and sometimes people have to walk on the road again just to avoid the obstacle. So yeah.
So what should be done about this issue?
Well, quite a lot at the moment can be done. We're getting companies to take a little bit more responsibility. So, for example, when people report that a bike is causing an obstruction, that it needs to either be removed within 2 hours if it's a danger, or within 24 hours. And then we're trying to get local authorities to issue fixed penalty notices when bikes are parked irresponsibly. And we're asking the bike companies as well to get permission from local authorities before putting these bikes out, and work with local communities, disabled and elderly people, so that they can kind of best minimise the impacts of dockless bikes.
You mentioned there about local authorities taking action, and I suppose just like other street obstacles, they have powers under the Highways Act to remove obstructions on the pavement, don't they?
Yes, that's correct. So if you do find a bike that's causing an obstruction, you can either call or email the bike operating company, or you could tweet us at RNIB_campaigns.
So Karishma, obviously you're working in London, but are you aware of where these bikes are a problem across the country? Is it just in London, or is it other areas as well?
Well, yes, they're growing in numbers in other areas as well. In London, they're becoming an issue. In Manchester as well, recently, like Oxford. But some local authorities, they're quite good and they're very strict on the type of bikes they want in their areas, but other places are not. So if we can do something about it now before it's too late, then kind of express our concerns about the issue they cause to blind and partially sighted people.
I'd never heard of these until you were talking about the dockless bikes, because where we are, especially here at Radio HQ as well, that there's a docking station, if you like, for over 100 bikes, and they are growing across many of the cities across the UK. But imagining, you know, dockless bikes and not knowing where they are on the street, that's kind of worrying. So yeah, absolutely. Everyone does, you know, tweet, get in touch if you see these bikes around, get in touch with the councils as well. No doubt we'll hear more on that as time goes on, but we're going to talk health next, Costa.
Listeners might remember we recently supported an inquiry by the All-Party Parliamentary Group on eye health and visual impairment. This inquiry was on capacity issues in NHS England eye clinics, which are leading to people losing some sight due to cancelled and delayed appointments. A report was produced which made a series of recommendations that, if implemented, could address this problem. So Helen Lee, RNIB Policy and Campaigns Manager for Eye Health, is here with us to update us on progress with the campaign.
Thanks, Costa. So we're doing quite a lot of work with NHS England and with the Department of Health and Social Care to encourage them to ensure the recommendations are implemented. But I also wanted to just to give you a flavour of a couple of other pieces of work we're doing, which I think will be of interest to listeners. As you might have heard, the NHS has been tasked with developing a 10-year plan with additional funding from the government and is looking at how services can be integrated across health and social care. We're working with organisations like Age UK to ensure that eye health and the needs of blind and partially sighted people are included in the future plans of the NHS. We're also working with NHS England around their review of services for people who need artificial eyes. And if any listeners use these services, we'd really like to hear from you. We would like to get your views and your experiences of what works well and what doesn't work so well with services, so we can feed that into the review process.
Helen, this was an all-party parliamentary group, so presumably there was a lot of cross-party support. Does that make things a little bit more positive in terms of some of the findings and how they can be carried forward then?
Yes, we had the all-party parliamentary group includes people from, as it says on the tin, all parties, which is really good news. We also had an expert advisory group that involved people from across the eye care sector. So patient organisations and patients from the Macular Society, from IGA, and of course from RNIB. And then people also working in health services, so from the Royal College of Ophthalmologists and the College of Optometrists. So we had a really concerted effort to identify solutions to increase capacity and ensuring patients get their appointments on time. The next stage of the work is all about making sure that these recommendations are implemented, and that's what we're doing. And again, we're taking a united approach. We're very aware that if we have one voice across the eye care sector, we're much more likely to be able to influence the government and the NHS.
And with the 10-year plan, I suppose this is the perfect time to do this, because it's almost forward planning, if you like, for NHS England. And for a long time now, eye care, eye health has been a bit further down the priorities list.
That's absolutely true, yes. What we're trying to do is look at how we can work in partnership to ensure that eye care gets higher up the NHS agenda. And we're thinking particularly around working with organisations like Age UK around the needs of older people, but also looking at some of the other issues that have interest across the NHS. So, for example, long-term conditions. And we're trying to fit our agenda, our eye health agenda, in with these other priority issues. Because alone, it probably won't get the support. But when we show how it's linked to the really big issues the NHS is having to tackle, then we're more likely to secure support.
And you touched on the collaboration with Age UK. You know, we are an ageing population. We're living longer. With age comes issues around your eyesight. Now, that doesn't go for everyone. You know, eye problems can hit at any age. You don't have to be born with a sight condition as well. But if we are going to be living longer, then it's about prevention rather than cure. And we think of things like glaucoma or age-related macular degeneration. You know, that could cause a spike in those particular conditions.
Absolutely. I think you're right, of course. Eye health is relevant for people of all ages, as is sight loss. But some of the big issues like glaucoma and wet AMD, we now have some really great treatments. But the critical issue is that the treatments need to be given at the right time to prevent avoidable sight loss. So that's why the capacity issue in our eye services is so critical.
Helen, you know, a lot we can talk about there. We will discuss that a little bit more in depth in another interview. Costa, one thing I think we should also touch on before we give out the contact details is that RNIB relies a lot on volunteers, and many of our volunteers are blind or partially sighted. And campaigns, I mean, that's a huge area that people can get involved in, because it's things that affect them that can affect others nationally. So we really want to hear from people and get more listeners involved as well.
That's right. And a lot of people who are taking action locally are people who are blind and partially sighted. And it's important that people are able to speak up and let us know what's important to them.
So if people would like to learn more about volunteering or getting involved, or that they've got an issue in their area, or indeed the topics we've been discussing today, what's the best way for them to get more information?
Well, if you'd like to get involved with campaigning, we have some great resources to help you, and we can put you in touch with your local regional campaigns officer, like Karishma for London. Just visit rnib.org.uk/campaigns, call our campaigns hotline on 0207 391 2123, or email campaigns@rnib.org.uk.
And do get involved. Follow them, though, to Costa, to Helen and Karishma. Thanks to you all for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.